What the world knows as the Lord's Prayer, as you know, is not the Lord's Prayer, it's the disciples' prayer. The Lord's Prayer is John 17, and I'm going to read it, and we're going to talk about it in relationship to high place stuff. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. And now they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I come out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me have I kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may all be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they might be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and has loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundations of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. The theme of this is obviously unity, but the three dominant words that come from that prayer are being glory, or somehow it's connected with glory or glorified, connected with joy, connected with love. Now, it's hard to talk about glorified. Romans 8 says that whom he justified, them he also glorified. Past tense. If you're justified, you're glorified. But what the hell does that mean? The world can't know anything about being glorified. It can't possibly know what that means. There's no experience that's possible to the human condition that can explain, that can duplicate what glory means. Glory means that you are at one in the New Jerusalem. It means literally that you have been transfigured. It means that all law has lost its hold on you, including all natural law. It means that for you and your real identity and a consciousness of that real identity, that you will have left time. And it will be like, I'm sorry to keep bringing this up, but the closest thing to it is a climax. But it's like 100,000 times greater than a climax. But it comes at the point in which you have been willing to totally and completely empty yourself. When there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that you desire to protect. It comes at the point when you are willing to lose your life and every aspect of your life. The high place identity can't understand that. The high place identity, that common denominator is always the original sin, self-seeking. Therefore, it is impossible, while you're still in the realm of the high place identity, to ever understand what it means to lose your life. I mean, all the religiosity in the world, all of the, you know, you can be burned. The reason it is because love is impossible for the high place identity. And if love is impossible, then glory is impossible, then joy is impossible. What I'm telling you in a nutshell is that the hope that is set before you soon, very soon, is that each one of you will experience a foretaste of that mind-blowing joy, that mind-blowing glory, which short-circuits your brain. You become literally a new creation. Now that's the hope that is set before you. Doesn't require anything else to do. You don't have to do anything. You don't even have to see anything. You don't even have to understand anything. It's going to come. Now,
it's like we all of us almost have something like that, you know.
So I know, God,
just through this high place.
Amen.
Stuff, you know.
But I'm talking about it. It will be, because I mean, it will be ever increasing in intensity.
We just
it's inexorable. You couldn't stop it if you wanted to.
I thought about that scripture of being transfigured
by the renewing of your mind.
And I was thinking that if we could see everybody's thoughts, you know, the thoughts of one whose mind was transfigured like that, you know, it'd be like a totally different, completely strange pattern, you know. In the same way that Jesus was, his body was completely different and, you know, radiant, those thoughts that you would be having, people couldn't, you know, couldn't. You could see him, they're little cartoon clouds. You know,
well, that's, not only can people, they don't necessarily see them, but they can sense them.
Yeah.
California.
Yeah, John's gotten rid of California lately.
Now, let this mind be in you. Let. Doesn't require any effort except to let. Let means just to open the door. Let means to not deny. Deny means to build a dam. Let means to open the door. Let the dam break. Yes. Let this mind be in you. Now you have the power to do that. You have the efficacy to do that. You have the ability to do that. You never again will be those who are in the form of God, I mean have a form of godliness, but deny his power. You don't have to deny his power anymore. Let. You never again, you don't have to go around getting your ears tickled. You don't have to run after conference speakers. You don't have to give heed to doctrines concerning demons. You don't have to give heed to another in the cycle of never-ending ways to get better. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, now we understand his high place identity. We're talking big time high place identity. Being in the form of God, thought it not something to be grasped, to be equal to or with God. But he emptied himself and made himself of no reputation. Now, in the process of his high place identity being exposed, it was Satan that exposed it. In the temptation of Christ, Satan, in a moment of time, took him to a high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world, their power and their glory. And he said, all this has been delivered over to me, and whomsoever I will give it. And in that sense, and those are no question, it was being offered to Christ. He could have cured all cancer in that instance. He could have given man life for, you could live for 900 years. Every disease would have been cured at that instant. Never again would there have been a baby suffer from malnutrition. Never again would there have been a war on earth. Never again would have there been a harsh word spoken. God had delivered all power in time and space over, and Satan has offered it to Christ. Everything that religion has hoped for was offered to Christ, and he could have given it in one split second of time. But he said, get thee behind me, Satan. More words to that extent. Why? Because the riches of the world, the best the world has to offer, isn't worthy to be compared with the glory, the glory, the glory, the joy, the joy joy. But I want you to know that every dream that you have, everything that you think you'd like, everything the world thinks it thinks would like, Jesus emptied himself of. That was his high place identity.
You know, on the cross, you know, and the tree, which is the grove, you know, basically, it's like he could have become the, you know, the success god, the dying and reviving. He could have become Tammuz.
He'd have been Tammuz in an instant.
And he would have fulfilled all these, you know, everybody would have just gone, hey, that's it, you know. And gone ahead and done all these things you just talked about, and you know, it was like right at that moment, if he had come down off the cross or something like that, called down angels or something, and wild stuff, and that was the temptation to become what all these mythological things through the ages had built up to this point, you know, of offering this. You know, it was like it wouldn't have been any big step to just do that.
Amen. But I want you to see that. I want you to see that, but I want you to experience it. I want you to feel if Jesus had, I mean, what the hell would it have, I mean, it would have been a good thing. But the mystery of kenosis, the mystery of emptying, is too great.
Yeah.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, high place identity. We're talking about the ultimate high place identity. Thought it not something to be grasped, to be equal to God, but emptied himself and made himself of no reputation. It goes on. I can't remember the rest of it. I mean, I remember, but I'm gonna quote it right.
What does that mean?
And being found, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross.
No reputation.
No power, authority, pain. Nothing that people would respect.
And being in the form of God, thought it not something to be grasped to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. But do you understand? Now, can you begin to understand the meaning of submission?
It's letting go.
It's God that raised him from the dead. It's God that exalted him. He totally put himself in the hands of the Father every second of his life. Knew then, once he had done it, once he had seen that there couldn't be a thought that he had that wasn't of the Father. There couldn't be a circumstance he confronted that wasn't of the Father. There couldn't be a situation that he was involved in that wasn't of the Father. Because faith had declared it. We think of Christ as all we've done is make him into a great magic man. That's what religion does. And they used to use Christ in the mixture for sorcery.
Yeah, you know that scripture about the power that raised Christ from the dead is resident in us. The power was his ability to let go.
His power was the faith.
It's not, you know, it's not, you know, lightning bolts and stuff. It's,
amen.
It's the letting go.
It's efficacy.
I was thinking about that we're God's inheritance. I mean, you know, Christ's inheritance, that he didn't, you know, he could have had all the stuff, you know, we're talking about all the Tammuz or Baal worship, or, I mean, all the neat stuff that you could think about, all the adulation and stuff, but that's not what he chose for inheritance. You know, he emptied it.
Man.
Well, what's the relation between this and when we talk about being in Christ's temptations? Remember, we talked about the difference between our temptations and Christ's temptations. Is that once we see that we're Christ, we're tempted in the same way with his high place of being God or something? Or
no. Testing. It's No. Forget the word temptation,
well,
the meaning tempted to do evil. Testing. Now you are they that have continued with me in my temptation. His temptation was always to lean on his own arm of understanding in any issue. It's the same as yours is. But please understand that in the we're going to, let me read this. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Past tense. All that you're doing is apprehending that which has already been, by which you've already been apprehended.
Yeah.
I mean it's so inexorable, it's and all we do, whether we do high places or study Leviticus or all the study we do, it just permits you to apprehend more of that which you have been apprehended by. And as you apprehend it completely, then you are transfigured by the renewing of your mind. I mean, nothing is left to do.
Holy, is that the Lord's Prayer about unity? That's also going on all the time.
Amen.
And that can also, that is going on at the same time that we crucify him afresh.
Amen. The moment we're crucifying him, he's praying that prayer.
I think when you're talking about Christ's temptation, it occurred to me that the only real temptation is to bring anything to the flesh, to, you know, the kingdom, the glory, anything to the earthly.
That's taking the name of the Lord in vain.
Because the real thing that's happening doesn't have anything to do with
it. Yeah. Now can you understand what it means to take the name of the Lord in vain? That means don't say goddamn, gonna give a fuck if you say damn.
Don't take it to anything that's vain.
Listen. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. I mean, it's so simple. Once your eyes have been, when that veil has been ripped from your eyes, those scales, you know that any time anybody that is preaching something that has to do with the world system, its definition is in error. They're a preaching of the Antichrist.
go.
Hear me. I mean, can you, there is no more arrogant form statement in the Bible than this. We are of God. They are of the world. How do we know? They speak of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. Black, white, simple, plain, declarative sentence. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You never have to worry about somebody deceiving you. And now finally we've gotten to the point where you no longer think this is Oli's doctrine.
They used to do that 2 or 3 years ago too.
What?
We finally got to the
point.
We're
getting more to the point. And all of the things that cause pain to the soul, the spirit rejoices. Because in the spirit, the tent pegs are getting wider and wider and wider and wider and wider until they cover the whole earth.
I saw a picture of, like, you know, a big group of people, and they're all kind of milling around going down the road. And as the road gets narrower and drops off on either side, there comes a point when they all have to say, you know, so if we're going to get through here, you know, it's like, stop, let's, you know, let's become one thing here, let's all line up or do something, because you can't just keep milling around, or else you don't ever, nobody, you know, they'll all fall off by pushing each other off the edge. You know?
Man.
It's like you got to come to some kind of understanding among yourselves as a unit and you know, do it or something.
I want to read an interest. This, the Talmud has all kinds of interesting things to say about what I'm going to read next, so listen. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him alone and keep only his commandments and obey only his voice. And you shall serve only him and cleave only unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death. That told you some false stuff earlier. Because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. Now, do you understand? I mean, you got to understand this once and for all. When Jesus said he is the way, he didn't mean that he's going to teach you the way. And if he is the way, the only way his way is manifested in you is when your way is gone. And the only way your way is gone is to know that anything you do is evil. And you turn from it and you abandon self. You can't have a right thought. You can't have a right idea. You can't, as mothers, teach your children a good thing. So shalt thou put the evil away. The Antichrist away. Why? Because you've seen through it. You've reasoned together as far as reason can possibly take you, and at the end of reason, you've seen your sin is as scarlet. And it can get no better. If all your dreams came true, you'd be a fulfilled dreamer that's going to hell. Will you finally wake up? You don't need anything save what you have in hand. If thy brother, now this is the interesting part, if thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of the bosom, thy bosom, or thy friend, which is thine own soul, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely of the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh or near unto thee, or far off from thee. from the one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth, thou shalt not consent unto him or her, now hearken unto him, neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him. And they listed all bunches of people there, but the Talmud and the Mishnah and the Talmud expands it, and it says, your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your wife, your kids, anyone that's in your world who entices you to go after the gods of the people that are around about you, you are to kill. Now, we war not against flesh and blood, otherwise we'll be in big trouble with U.S. law.
That's what Jesus was commenting on, right?
That's exactly what he was commenting on. When you hate your mother and father and sister and brother and wife and children, because all wives, mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, wives, children are an enemy of faith, because they're an enemy of abandonment of self. You kill them by what? The same way you kill someone here, by withdrawing from, to the point in time. Now, again, you don't have to do it physically. We're not talking about warfare and against flesh and blood. Then you'd have to take an Uzi. You just, in your mind's eye, you see clearly. The latter rain is falling. And there's no more an excuse for any of you to say, I don't understand. To say you don't understand is a point of rebellion. Because you do understand. You do know.
You withdraw support for that role.
That's right.
As a role.
Thou shalt surely kill him. Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people. You understand what that means? Okay. And thou shalt stone him with stones that he die, because he has sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And all Israel shall hear and fear, and shall do no more any such wickedness as this is among you. So much for Mother's Day. Don't pick on your mother any more than you would anybody else.
We still got Father's Day.
That's like what's, you know, mothers are here as a type, just like marriage is here as a type.
Amen.
And what makes it sickening is when the type gets taken to the flesh and gets worshipped, you know, like it were something more than just a type of what the real mother is.
Amen. That's what it says in Romans 1, where they worship the creation.
More than, yeah.
Yeah. Blessing on that.
I speak for 3 hours. He says one word and gets a blessing.
I need you always get a blessing. Your blessing was cobbler. Because I got a double blessing.
That's great.
Get him another big stuff.
I'll share my blessing.
Right, start. Jesus had just said some of this kind of stuff. The disciples were saying, uh-oh, there he goes again. Going off on another tear.
No telling what he's going to say and how he's going to offend.
He doesn't forget.
Yeah, I hope he doesn't embarrass me in front of my mother.
Peter's going to take him to Capernaum, right? Peter's got a nice, his family's got a nice big house in Capernaum.
Nice Jewish mother.
And you can imagine Peter sitting around saying, now Jesus, we got to have a little talk here.
You got to guard your words a little
bit. It's not that
she's not cool. We got to warn everybody we get rowdy in Purim. Can't go to anybody's house.
Right, right. Yeah, that's what they're going to. Okay.
We always offend somebody of Purim. Right. Never
fails. Yeah. We need an advanced copy of her sermon, Jesus. Let me have your sermon notes.
Don't deviate from the text.
And they were astonished, out of measure. In other words, it knocked
they
their socks
their
off.
Away.
Right. And they said among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus looked on them and said, with men, impossible. Impossible. But not with God, for with God all things are possible. And Jesus, then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we've left everything, and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake in the Gospels, but that he shall receive 100-fold now, in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. And in the world to come he shall receive eternal life. And many that are first shall be last, and the last first.
What does that mean, Nora?
Literally.
First and last?
Yeah.
Well, the best...
The other.
Well, the first and last means it's like, if you look at the world as a womb, and you think it's like what they say about Jacob and Esau. If this was a vial, and I put in a pearl and an oyster, I mean a pearl and a diamond and a sapphire and a ruby. The pearl was first, the diamond was second, the sapphire was third, ruby was fourth. When it came out, the last is first.
Or it might mean that
there's no
lineal thinking.
That's right.
You know, just
I was just that's what I just said was what the Talmud explains that, because that statement's throughout the Talmud too. Now, I want to read one other thing about what Jesus' relatives thought of him. Jesus is just chosen his disciples. And they had gone into a house, and the multitude had come together so that they couldn't even eat bread. Everything was just a mess. And his kinsmen heard of it. They went out, his kinsmen. The word kinsmen there, it says when his friends. In the Greek it says when his relatives, his mother and his brothers, heard of it. They went out to lay hold on him. They were going to have him taken somewhere. For they said, he is beside himself. When it says he's beside himself, it means they thought he was crazy. And they were going to lay hold by force if necessary on the Son of God to put him away because his mother and his brothers thought he was crazy. Don't be surprised, folks, if they say you have a demon, if they say you're the chief of demons. I mean, this is God. God himself, these stupid idiots, were going to lay hands on and put him away because they thought he was crazy.
It does kind of boggle my imagination.
It just proves, I mean, these were the enemies.
That's wild. It's like to bring to life that little thing, to see that
feeling.
You know, people showing up. You know,
like we're here to take you away. Amen. Mother's Day. Another non-event.
Pseudo.
Another pseudo events. A long line of pseudo events. And I saw. And if I had, I pray that you would have discernment, but now I pray that you would see through the veil of time. That you would see what Paul, I mean what John saw. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. That means no more people. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with or in men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither there shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. It is done. It is finished. New Jerusalem is here. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Now I want you to think about high place identities a minute now. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. I want to read a minute from Isaiah, and then we'll do the aftermath and then talk about some other stuff. Thus saith the Lord, The heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor, and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. I will also choose their delusions, and will bring their own fears upon them. Because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that in which I delighted not. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, Let the Lord be glorified. But he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. A voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who has seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. That's what we're about to study in Pentecost. Shall I bring to birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut up the womb, saith thy God? Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her, And all ye that love her, rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn, that you may suck and be satisfied with the breasts of her consolations, that you may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles shall like a flowing stream. Then you shall suck, you shall be borne upon her sides, and dandled upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. That's our mother. Our only mother.
It's like that's the only reason we were ever suckled and dandled upon the knees of our mother, was to see that and understand that concept of God doing that.
Amen. Now I'm going to go through one crossfire spot that's sort of appropriate. O evil and perverse generation, have I been in your midst so long and you've perceived me not? Have I not met your needs in a thousand ways and you've been blind? When I speak to you, you do not hear. You behave not as sons and daughters, but as strangers. You hold meetings in my name and give honor to men, but not to me. You boast that you serve me, but in truth you serve your own ego, for that which you do is always calculated to enhance your own position and advance your own prestige, and you give it all a sanctimonious cloak. See, you say, we shall pray, while prayer is farthest from your true heart. Prayers for those whose hearts cry unto me in sincerity and who seek me earnestly, not for those with only a pretended piety and with hearts made fat with self-adulation, are only playing with me as a child would manipulate a puppet on a string. Get to the prayer closet. That is the reason I taught you to pray in secret, for there you are beset by fewer false motives and less temptation. He who does not habitually commune with me alone in prayer is almost sure to find true prayer impossible in public. You would make your religion pleasant and acceptable. You would make it comfortable and accommodating to your own schedule. Your Savior knew nothing of such a false religion. Lonely nights he wrestled in prayer. He spared not the flesh discomfort. Yes, and the more you pamper your own flesh as to bodily comforts, the more she'll demand of you, until your physical needs become a tyrant unto you in your own house. Be not deceived, I gave you no such commandment. Hear me as I repeat to you what I gave to your fathers. Abandon yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. Yes, follow me, not some worldly form of a backslidden church. Think not that it becometh blessed because it bears the name church. My church is a living body, not a dead form. My people may be recognized by their humility and their suffering, not by their social acceptability or self-advertised success, not by extravagant physical appointments of their structures, but by the grace of God at work in their hearts. Sacrifice is my status symbol, and man has not been eager to duplicate the spiritual leadership I had in servants like Paul or Jeremiah. Do you desire to follow me truly? Then follow the blood-stained prints of my feet. Go, as it were, to the cold, unyielding rock in the Garden of Gethsemane, where self is put aside and the cup of suffering is accepted. Die to your own treacherous and deceitful heart. Then rise with determination to go on unflinchingly, not hoping to spare your life. Save your life under any guise, and you shall lose it. But offer it up to me this very day, this very second, in a renewal of consecration and a sacrificial living, and I will accept you, and you shall know joy as new wine.
Amen.
Everybody take the bread. The same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread and he blessed it. And he said, Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who bringeth forth bread from the earth. He bringeth forth the bread of life from this earthen vessel. And he said, take, eat, this is my body. By these stripes you are healed, and by this bread every need possible is met. And he took the cup, and he looked around him, and he said, my God, there's a bunch of motley people here, everyone trying to establish their own identity, every one of them trying to be worthy. And he said, you dumb fucks.
What was a cuss word?
He said, no, they used, you dumb sports.
Sports.
Right, because they were sporting. You know, Isaac and Rebecca were sporting. And
knowers.
Dumb knowers.
Sports fans.
You dumb knowers.
And he took the cup and he gave thanks.
Another sports.
And he said, blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who createst the fruit of the vine. And in that statement, he showed them that in this wine, it revealed the mystery of the universe. And by this and this alone, you are made worthy. And any other attempt is to make the cross of Christ of none effect. And any other attempt to plan your life, to plan tomorrow, is to be God's counselor.
Yeah.
And that's not smart.
Stop it.
But as you drink this, all of those mistakes are gone as far as the east is from the west.
Pseudo
to life.
Pseudo mistakes.
Where is that about the counselor?
Romans 11, I think.
Romans 11?
There's also all over the place.
I thought we read it in the Old Testament. Let me say this about the wine and the blood. And if I already said this, come. But when I was out by the lake the other day, I laid back on the picnic table and I was looking up, and there was this tree. You know, it was like I was under a dome or something. You know, and I just had this feeling of being covered by the blood. It was, I mean,
man,
it was great.
I had one thing I saw during the blessing of the bread, where it says, blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who bringeth forth bread from the earth. And I saw this picture out of time where huge wheat fields are planted, and over 3 months, 4 months, whatever, you see it come up. And if you see it like in time-lapse photography, you'd see God bringing forth the bread from the earth.
Yeah, that'd be a neat picture to go with.
Yeah.
And it's like in us, too. All these seeds have been planted in the preaching of the word, and God is bringing forth this bread that just...
And it's some 30, some 60, and some 100.
Lots of stuff.
In terms of that parable in Matthew 13. And that means that part of the seed is used to meet the needs of the body. Part of the seed is replanted, and part of the seed is given to the world.
But make a TV, just like a
video.
Film of
it's like
tremendous music in the background, just constantly different, you know, things growing, vines or wheat or something.
You need to talk like the hair. This is where we lure in the angels.
I just feel with everything in me that we are entering hyperspace, but we're about to enter another
backwards.
We're going into another area where it's going to go. We thought we'd been in hyperspace for the last 2 months, but it's going to go.
We're about to hit warp 7.
Warp 7 or whatever that thing is.
And make a right turn.
Right. God desires that we be totally sanctified, body, soul, and spirit. And that's a hard thing to understand.